Atonement is our best English word for the Hebrew word Kippur. And Kippur means this: to wipe away, to cover over, to cleanse. As in the Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur, Yom meaning day, and Kippur meaning atonement, so Day of Atonement. And atonement is like a fabulous English word for Kippur because it literally means at one ment. The result of our cleansing from sin is our at one ment with God, being reconciled and reunited with God forever. How cool is that? Forever. But how was this accomplished? That is going to be the focus of what we're going to talk about this morning, very briefly, because there is lots to celebrate this morning. Well, the Bible says this about that question in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. Paul says this: Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. So Christ's death removed two things that separate us from God. Two things. One, our sin. Two, God's wrath. Jews and Gentiles, so all who were not Jewish, laid their sin upon Christ when he was falsely accused and brought to judgment almost 2,000 years ago, more than that actually, and then nailed to the cross. Jesus said to them then, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He says the same to us. Our sin is a kind of moral and spiritual disease that separates us from God. We are born with it. In turn, we contribute to it, and we are corrupted by it. Sin turns our hearts away from God. Atonement promises to heal us from the inside out. God's wrath refers to the judgment we deserve from our Heavenly Father for the way we have rebelled against Him and do rebel against Him, and for the ways we have contributed to the pain and separation we cause between each other. I think we could all agree we are guilty as charged. When Jesus takes away our sin from us, heals our hearts, and makes us right with God, we are Kippur'd, no longer deserving of God's wrath or punishment. The Bible says this: everyone who calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. So, when we choose the one who chooses us, as Wendy said earlier, there are lots of things that happen, but consider these three at least. We are justified, made just as if I'd never sinned. Paul describes it this way in Romans: justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of, there it is, that word, right? Atonement, or at-one-ment, through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. So, we are justified. We are made new. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The old appetites for, the lusts for, the desires for, things that are self-destructive and other destructive, we identify them. In our spirits, we reject them because our hearts are aligned with God's. We become new. And positionally, we are new. We are no longer condemned. We are justified. We are made new. And then thirdly, we are truly forgiven once and for all. 1 Peter chapter 3 says this: Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you and me safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. Our guilt is gone, and so is any punishment associated with that guilt. But where did that punishment go? So some think, and I would suggest this is the most popular interpretation, some think that that punishment was laid on Christ by God. And yet, if there's any wrath, when we read the scriptures, if there's any wrath being poured out on Christ at the cross, where is it coming from? It's not God. It's people. It's the hands of human beings. Here's the one thing about forgiveness. The punishment just goes. It's dropped. It's forgotten. It's set aside. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And then what? God needs to find a place for all his pent-up anger. So he places it on his son, which is really to say on himself. God looks past the cross to those who put his son on the cross, and he decides, I gotta take those people out. So he pours his wrath out on humanity? No, I don't think so. When God wants us to imagine his role in the crucifixion of Jesus, he tells us that it was his plan to see Christ suffer for us, even to be crushed as a guilt offering. And this we read in Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. So there would have been a collective sort of, that's awkward. That's not good. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. This would be a good place for an amen, maybe, right? Let's try it. Because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Amen. Right? It's good. He was pierced for our transgressions, Isaiah suggests. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. But God stopped short of saying that he was the one that did these things to his son. Instead, we find him, as Paul says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Let me end this portion of what I will share with you by quoting one of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis. The central belief for Christians is that Christ's death has somehow put us right with God and given us a fresh start. Theories as to how it did this are another matter. A good many different theories have been held as to how it works. What all Christians are agreed on is that it does work. Amen to that, right? Amen to that. Let's thank God together by taking these elements, bread and juice, in remembrance of Jesus Christ, just as the Bible tells us to do. So by way of preparing ourselves for that, I'm going to ask maybe for some quiet music in the background shortly, surely, and for us to just reflect on our lives where they're at. We were engaged by Wendy's comments earlier to be mindful and remember that we are loved, and that's the starting place. That's our identity place. And so when we come to this point of celebrating, remembering and celebrating what Christ has done for us, it really, it's one of these mixed emotional experiences for us. It's like, oh, that was a terrible cost. But man, is that good news. that my sin is cleansed, that Christ did not stay in the grave because it was impossible to keep him there. And so by following him, we are forgiven, but we also then enter eternal, forever reunited relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So for us, that is our prayer. And it is to also, from that Thanksgiving, say to our Papa, would you look into my heart and examine me as David asked and see if there's any unclean way there that I'm not aware of. It's forgiven, but I want to be aware of it so that I can step away from it and towards something better than I've been choosing for myself. So I'll let you guys think that through for a bit and pray that through for a bit, and then I'll ask a couple of volunteers shortly to help me hand these elements out to each of us. We'll take one at a time. And then if there would be maybe one person that might want to pray for one element and one another, that'd be great. I'll ask you for that in a moment. So let's pray, and then I'll ask a couple people to come and help me hand out the elements. So, because we are loved and forgiven by God as we are, as we just remembered in some detail, we are called then and we are commissioned, and we will commission each other by the end of what we do this morning to go into our respective worlds to teach people about this love that we're learning about and daring to believe is true, and to embody that love and forgiveness to others as high school graduates, as those living in this community with other people living in this community, and as those sent and supported by us as a church family to go to Mexico this summer to care for people there. So in that order then, I'd like to invite up Jack and Stephanie to take some time to make known to you our grads and to celebrate them and give us a chance to pray for them as we commission them into their new lives together. Here's a mic right here. Testing, are you? Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. I'm going to invite the grads who are here to come on up. I've got a couple questions for them super quick. And Jack and Rob are going to bring over the gifts that we have for you guys. Hello. I'll switch sides with you. Okay. So I think these are all of the grads that we have here today. There are a few who weren't able to make it today or just are busy in general. And so I'm just going to start by asking each of them the same two questions. What are you doing with this new chapter of your life, and how can we as a church congregation be praying for you guys? This is Elizabeth Gregan.
Hi. I'll be attending Vancouver Island University to receive my Bachelor's of Visual Arts with a minor in theater, and then I hope to come back to school, get my PDP, and become an art and drama teacher. And thank you. And the two things I really would like to pray over is wisdom and strength. Yeah.
Good ones. Maddie?
So I'm planning to go to UFV next year for nursing. But my parents have offered to send me to YWAM. So that's kind of what I want prayer for, is like choosing that pathway for me. And yeah, just prayer and helping me pick what's the best decision for me.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Maddie. Danny Visser?
Yeah, I plan to take a year off, chillax, and get some money for some post-secondary. Then I plan to take the outdoor program at CBC. And I can, the way you can pray for me is probably just guidance and choosing where I want to go.
Yeah, awesome.
Jocelyn Ronborn.
Next year, I'm going to UFE for a Bachelor of Science, and then eventually I'll go into veterinary medicine. And if you could just pray for me for strength and wisdom as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kaylee Eyre.
Nice.
Caitlin. At graduation, they said my name was Caitlin. That's a joke, so... yeah, I'm going to play basketball at CBC next year, and I'm going to take the Applied Leadership Program for 2 years, and then that allows me to take the ERT program and finish up in 3 years, and then become a paramedic. So that's kind of what I'm looking at right now, and then I really need to be patient. I think I want to rush everything all the time, so this summer is a burden for me. And just to get through that happily is what I need help with.
And Jonathan Cron.
Yeah, so I'm not doing anything that these people are doing. I'm just living the life still, playing hockey and golfing every day. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those of you who don't know, I'll be playing in Salmon Arm again. Keep playing hockey. It's having fun. And you can pray for me that I, for guidance and wisdom, and that I also lower my handicap in golf.
Yeah. Wow. That's.
Excellent. Okay, guys, is it okay if we all pray for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're happy about that? Okay. Church, I'm going to ask you to stand.
Okay. Let's do that.
We'll try something. Grads, can you open your hands like this, palms up? And I've just asked church that you would just maybe stick out your arms towards our grads as we pray for them and we commission them this morning. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for these fine young men and women that you have brought up here and that you have blessed us with and given me the privilege to get to know over this past year that I've been here. I thank you so much for where you are leading them, where you have led them, and yeah, it's crazy finishing high school, and it can kind of feel a little scary and unknown, even if you have plans. So I just ask that these grads will continue to look to your word and to be in tune with your spirit and listen to your voice as you lead them throughout their lives, that you would... Yeah, that you would help them to know that you are always with them no matter where they go and no matter what situation they find themselves in. And I just pray that they would surround themselves with people who can encourage them to stay on the right path and to lift them up. And yeah, I just thank you so much for their friends and family that have come here today and that have supported them this whole time. And yeah, we just thank you so much for them. Amen.
You may be seated, yeah. We have gifts for each of you. They have the swank, new swank. That's a word? It's a word? Oh, okay. Swank swag. Thank you. It is a descriptor. Whereas swag is the noun, swank is an adjective. Excellent. Let's give another round of applause. Do it. Thanks, grads. You may be seated. Keep them in mind as you do through the weekend. As their name comes to your mind, please be praying for them. I'm going to ask Jack to stay with me here. And you're welcome to stay or go up to you. And also for Kelly Ronborn to join me up here in addition to. Sadly, for us, Jack is also making a new pathway into a new year. So I'll let him tell you a little bit about that. And then Kelly will have some remarks to share. Jack.
So we are doing all kinds of things. My wife, Lyric, couldn't be here this morning, so I will speak for both of us.
Yeah, she's working, that's right.
Yeah, she's making lattes and whatever. So this summer, Lyric and I will be serving at Camp Squia, directing the MUD program. We'll just hang out with a bunch of kids and do work around camp and talk about Jesus and the Bible, and we're really looking forward to that. And in September, I will be finishing my youth work degree at CBC and entering into a place of unknown. So, I'll just be at school and kind of figuring out what I'm going to be doing from there. I just want to say it's been a privilege to serve here and to get to know you guys, and I hope that you've gotten to know myself and Lyric, and we felt really supported by you and very welcomed, so we thank you for that and all the support that you have for our youth group, and it's been great.
Thanks, Jack. If you want to grab that plant. So the new gift du jour to bless people has moved from flowers to succulents. And that's because they don't die as easily, and certainly they last longer altogether. So if Lyric were here, we would have given her this beautiful succulent arrangement. It's just nice to say that word, actually, succulent. Okay, also an adjective, but also a noun. Interesting word. So I'm told water it once a month, but not on the plant, just in the soil itself, and keep it in a sunny place. And maybe if the window is like this, turn it periodically, like once a week, give each side equal tanning sort of opportunity. In addition to this lovely arrangement of succulents, we are sending you and Lyric, your beautiful wife, given that you are more or less students, more or less penniless, out for a couple of meals at a place nearby where you live, Red Robin.
Wow.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So there's enough here. If you're frugal, you might be able to get two or three meals out of it.
Thank you.
If you go nuts, no. All right?
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. Perfect. That's right.
I just wanted to come up on behalf of LT and just let you know what's going on now, sort of going forward. Stephanie's got some great stuff planned for the youth this summer, so parents and youth, there's lots of things happening. Check the bulletin and the website and those sort of things. And as we sort of discern what to do for the fall to give Stephanie some help going forward, we'll just keep you informed throughout the next couple months just to let you know. So no worries, we got that covered, and we'll keep you up to date. That's all, and thanks, Jack.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Steph. Good job. Brilliant. All right. Maybe some images. I'm looking around. Is Gabe here? Dark Angelo. I would give him the mic right away. Not seeing or hearing him, how will I proceed here? Let's talk a little bit about as commissioned ones and called ones, the things that we are up to as a church body, locally to start with, and we'll finish our morning with the commissioning of our Mexico team. So if I could get the images on rotation for the VMS Hangout, please, Shirley, that'd be great. Let's see. So here are the kids that a number of us were able to hang out with on Wednesday afternoons from February till 2 weeks ago, when we were at Panago Pizza, Sardis, and Tim Hortons right across the parking lot. We averaged around 20 kids. There was 25 kids altogether registered, but come springtime, a lot of them ended up going and participating in the things that they do at that time of year. So just to give you a sense of the impact that four of us have had, and others from Sardis Community Church, I'll give you a couple stories. One is this. We were at Panago weeks ago, as I mentioned, and then Tim Hortons. We split the group in half because we were there to make personal pan pizzas. We were there, really, from our perspective, to thank Lucy Ann, who provided five pizzas every Wednesday afternoon for nothing in support of us, supporting this school, connecting with these students who applied to be part of this program, but were otherwise vetted by the school's administration to have kids who need to be connected, who are peripheral, who are maybe reticent or don't have great social skills, or who are super intelligent, or like whatever the case might be, right? Or they're new to the school, which was the case for a couple of them. So we're at Tim Hortons, and I had announced on the bus that Dave Dick drove over that day for us. Again, thank you, David. that they could have one small beverage. All right, there was this little beautiful child in there, and I can be able to talk about this because they have signed a release on publicity. So her name is Bria, one of the most beautiful kids I've ever met. I mean, from the inside out, she was beautiful, but she was inside out beautiful. Tiny, though, like maybe came up there to there on me. Neat kid, interacts really well with the humans, and we were in line, and several had made their order, and she was second to last and was standing there and was looking up at the menu, and I said to her, "What would you like?" And she said, "I don't know." "Okay, do you want to maybe think about it a little longer and come back?" "Yeah." "Okay." So she goes behind the person that's behind her. That person makes their order immediately, and Bria gets to the front again almost immediately. And I said, do you know now?" So what I learned from the barbecue that we had last week when her parents were here was they never go to Tim Hortons, and they don't generally go to restaurants. So that having this collage of food chances was more than her little brain could compute. So I said to her, "Do you want me to maybe recommend some things to you?" And she said, "Yeah, that'd be great." So I said, "Well, I've noticed that they're doing this milkshake kind of thing here at Tim Hortons right now, and a lot of the students are ordering that." "That's yes." "Okay, would you like? What's your favorite flavor?" "I don't know." "Oh my gosh." "Okay, there is chocolate, strawberry, chocolate." Okay. I felt like I was dismantling a bomb. It was crazy. So she decides she's done. She resets herself, and she just steps right into me and gives me this huge hug, which, like, if you know the culture, you're never supposed to do, right? And she looked up at me with these moonbeam eyes and said, "Thank you." Like I'd just given her a brand new car or something. Like, it was funny. So that's, relationally, I think that's where we all landed in the end, that these students got to know each other better, but they also got to know us really well. And it was a terrific experience, and I would encourage you to continue to invest in it. So at the barbecue last week, just to give you a sense again of the impact, I should tell you, by the way, that in RSVPing for the barbecue, at least one of the adults that would be adult parent to one of our kids inquired as to whether or not our church might have a youth ministry. I said, "Yeah, that's actually kind of what we do." So that's neat. Again, we do these things because we're trying to just keep ourselves engaged in serving the community in meaningful, loving ways. And if it produces those kinds of questions, that's great. Of course. So last week we had the barbecue. We had 45 people RSVP, 65 people showed up. That was a bit of attention. I'm not going to lie. A little bit of attention. At the end of it, one of the kids, on her own initiative, put this card together. She stood up on one of the tables in there, 65 people, Megan is her name, kind of a small kid as well, got up and said, "I have made this card. You will sign it before you leave." Like, no option to not sign it, right? And so thank you, VMS leaders. VMS Hangout is the name of, we won't call it a ministry, we'll call it a program. VMS Hangout rules. You should also know that we support a breakfast program. Two of our ladies here, on your behalf, with budget monies that LT has put aside for such a ministry and a season like this, for you to consider next year, you are regularly feeding kids, 20 to 30 kids every morning that show up at this school that just are hungry and obviously then can't focus too terribly well to do what they need to do through the course of the day. All right, I think that's good for that. I'm going to ask you now to switch into, Shirley, if you wouldn't mind, our participation at Ruth and Naomi's ministry and mission. And there is our Mexico team members. We have other shots of others that over the course of lots of years have participated. We gave you the most current that we could find. And I want to just again say thank you to those who last month, when I put the call out to say, hey, can anyone come and help me tonight? Me and Paul, I think we're the only ones really signed up to do that last Sunday of last month. It's like, I don't know, how many people showed up? 13. Yeah, like 13 people. This is so you. Where there's a need, where it's legitimate, where it's helpful, where it's loving, just sign me up, says Crossroads. And so you came. And again, thank you for that. I know I did by email before. This is really cool, and Corey will talk about this way more when he is preaching in July. But I'll tell you this, that Ruth and Naomi's, they serve more than 200 meals per day, probably more than that even. They support 26 individuals in residential recovery treatment, and they engage more than 400 volunteers in serving regularly, some of whom are you, like these folks in behind me. Sunday night meals, we would serve them to more than 100 people on average the last Sunday of every month. And again, I got to tell you, when you are involved in good things, it creates this momentum where the community wants to be involved. So still, Panago Pizza, once every other month, supplies over 20 pizzas to feed that group. And then once every other month, Meadow Valley Meats has been supplying hamburgers, and we just pick up fries at Costco. So it's really cost-effective for us, but we're engaging a wider group. And again, for the community to see that the church is about loving and caring for the community and to engage them in doing that, it's a homer. It just is. So I would encourage you to stay that course as well. I'll leave it to Corey to talk to you about this in more detail, but the Family Center has opened up in this past May, which is the site for 36 low-cost housing apartments. And Corey did a walk around with us as Aero leaders a little while ago. There is medical services, dental services. This is all on site. Daycare center, after-school program, a teaching kitchen. Really cool. All brand new ovens. This aisle down the middle where the teacher can teach, and fantastic stuff. And laundry service, paid laundry service. So it'll be a home for the mission's women's recovery program as well, because right now they're only doing that with the guys. Maybe you're called to work or volunteer at Ruth and Naomi's mission to join Corey and Susan on staff or just a bunch of others of us who help serve when we can. I'm going to ask you now then, Shirley, if you wouldn't mind to give me that photo of our family who we're building a house with this summer. Yeah, just a still. Yeah. And then with that, I'll ask Tony and Paul. Yeah, you can turn that off now. Why are you pointing at me? What am I doing? Thank you so much. I missed that. It's right here in my notes, too. So this happened before. We talked about Case for Smiles. And this is why Shirley remembered it, because I had forgotten it. Thanks for reminding me. Case for Smiles. So this is a ministry where people can put pillowcases together, sewing them together, and give them over to hospitals where kids are suffering from cancer specifically. So what we know is Jaina, one of our worship leaders this morning, has gathered a bunch of folks at Sardis Senior High School that are really interested in doing this. And you have done more than 50 at this point. Is that correct? It's awesome, right? And the ladies who have met with Shirley have added more than 50. So 100 of these pillowcases have now gone down the road to Abbotsford to the cancer unit. Am I saying that right? Did I catch that? Now, these two behind me are particularly precious to the Esau home because they are granddaughters, Amy and Jessica, who were also involved in putting them. Or are they just displaying them? Did they? They made them. Fantastic. So thanks for that update, Shirley. I appreciate that. And thanks for getting me back to that. Now, can I have the family photo? Great. Then Paul and Tony and team, can I have you come forward? And can I get the handheld cordless mic, please? Wow. Seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given. Tony? Wow, I love the color. This is a good color.
We're going to say something. Okay. Well, Wendy's prayer basically said it all. So we want to go as a team from Crossroads with confidence based in love. And that's where we're at. And like, we have literal journeyman carpenters, people on the crew. So we don't want to be egotistical, but the house isn't really an issue. I'm serious. I claim that because of the human skill that God's blessed us on this team. But let us just be in total need of your prayer for displaying God's love correctly. We want to have passion, and we just want to represent our hearts just in a meaningful way to the people, right? And so July 3rd, Wednesday in the evening, somewhere around 5:30, 6 o'clock, write it down. We'll try and put it out in an email. Pray for us. It'll be the joint service where we're all together. That's just a time where we just covet your prayer as people who are going to be speaking and singing and talking on your behalf, but on the God's family behalf, and joining a church in Mexico. So this is our team. We rock.
Introduce them. I hate to put you on the spot like that. Maybe they can introduce themselves.
Jessica and Angel and Juan and Jesus and Emily.
And how about the team?
Oh, well, they're Crossroadians. So we've got John Rabbi rocking the 2XL. Brian Decker. Fantastic. Journeyman carpenter. Master carpenter construction person. Patty Martins. Fantastic alto. Okay, wait a second. I'll still cut that out. Debbie Fletcher. James, sometimes called Jim Halliday. Kelly Ronborn. My buddy Paul Thompson, who is the co-leader with me, going to be in charge of the MasterCard and in charge of keeping me straight.
Whoa.
Wait a second.
You're going to go back to your wife, or you're saving her for last?
She's, no, I did Kelly Ronborn.
I didn't hear that. Sorry. And, my bad.
I mean, 24 years on Monday, particularly probably my favorite member of the team. I mean,
wait a second. Okay.
I'm relatively fond of this one as well. I can see Danica Ronberg. Sorry. Christy, my sister-in-law, Christy Brown. Pat Peters, my longtime buddy. Jimmy Decker, happens to be the son of that other guy down the road.
With the same last name.
Same last name.
So what I'd like to do is get you guys to maybe to move right up to this front row of chairs as a team, because I'm going to invite anyone who'd be willing and able to come forward and lay a hand on them. So we're going to take Jack's good idea of this, and we're going to actually operationalize it physically. So I'm going to pray a prayer of commissioning on this team, and then we'll close our service shortly thereafter. But I'll ask, how are we doing for time? What is the time back there? Okay, so there's our answer, Gina. Okay? All right. Can I have you stand with me? And anybody who'd be willing to come forward and just lay your hand on one member of the team or two, Please do that by way of your support and encouragement of them. It would be awesome.
Maybe we should have them mingle into the...
Yeah, maybe go, that's true. It's a mob. I love it. This is so Crossroads. Beautiful. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us like you do, for forgiving us as you have, for making us new, justified, right with you, forgiven forever. This is who we are. This is why we do all we do, or at least I hope our lives become more and more characterized by that being our motivation. It's why this team is going. And we humbly have said we want to love well while we are there, each other as a team, but also the folks we're serving, who are serving with us. There's lots of things to be praying for, and even as I'm praying, I know our church family is praying these kinds of things, that you would protect their physical health, their emotional health, their spiritual health as they prepare to go. Thank you for all that has happened already to get them to this point. All of the details that have come together, all of the finances to send a team. Father, we choose to believe that in sending a team, it is the best way to communicate your love, not just to build a home. That is a significant upgrade for this beautiful family that will make it safe for them and for others to come, that it will become a community place of gathering then. But also, Father, that... how can I put this? Being there is a choice, person to person, life to life. And that has an impact that I don't know that we entirely appreciate. We do when we're there because we have families of other builds come and find us and tell us. They pray for us as we pray for them. We are saying, as if for God, we see you. And they are saying to us, we see you. And so I'll pray this as a commissioning for all of us. This prayer from Paul out of Ephesians. Students and grads, moms, and especially today dads, as friends who live and work in our city, as members of the 2019 Mexico Missions team, I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I have one last word to you. Thanks all who came up and joined us here, and for you who remained to pray where you did. Last word then is go in peace wherever you go to love and serve the Lord and one another. And you might say, as we would say in our Catholic Church experience, thanks be to God. And dads, we want to say happy Father's Day, and we want to do something physical. And to that end, there's a very large white cooler to my right, your left, at the back, on the way out, that is filled with Dad's root beer, sitting on large blocks of ice. Oh, so good. Here's what we want to do. We want to make sure that the dads and granddads get a root beer. But for any root beers that might be left over, if you hang back, there's probably going to be a few left over, okay? So, happy Father's Day. Fathers, have a great day. We'll see you next Sunday.